Mets Musings is presented by FanDuel. FanDuel is the leader in one-day fantasy sports for money with immediate cash payouts, no commitments, and leagues from $1. Sign up at FanDuel.com and use the promo code METSMUSINGS. And by BaseballTalkRadio.com. BaseballTalkRadio.com is the home of over 30 of the finest baseball podcasts, with podcasts covering the U.S., Canada, and even a podcast on Japanese baseball. Fantasy leagues, we got you covered. Even a groundskeeper, we got it right here. If it's baseball, we'll be talking about it at BaseballTalkRadio.com, the home of great baseball talk shows.
Now it's time for some New York Mets baseball talk. Here's Gary Mack bringing you the latest news and analysis from Mets Nation and the world of baseball on another edition of Mets Musings.
And hello and welcome to episode number 248 of Mets Musings. Hope everybody had a great week out there. We're a late day later than usual. Some things go on in life that throws you off balance, but we are here on a Friday night, and we get to talk about another day of Mets baseball. But I want to welcome everybody to this edition of Mets Musings. I'm your host, Gary Mack, and welcome back. And before we get started, special shout out and congratulations to Charlie Vassalero and Kevin O'Malley. They are speaking in Cooperstown at the Baseball Hall of Fame about their book, At the Ballpark, A Ballpark Companion. And Charlie was on the show. You can listen to Mets Musings number 199 to hear what the book is all about. And that's a great honor. They're talking to the Hall at the Hall of Fame. And we've had a couple of our other guests talk at the Hall of Fame about their books, notably Frank Nappy and Eric Sherman. Both gave talks about books that they've written to the Hall of Fame. So congratulations this weekend. Charlie Vassalero and Kevin O'Malley are in Cooperstown. And if you're in the area, go see their talk. Go check it out. It's really a fascinating, interesting book, and you'll enjoy it. Speaking of books, Father's Day is coming up, so, you know, that's high on our gift list, and summertime, too, with the reading and all of that. Check out a number of fine books. Let's see. Let's start with Greatest Game of My Life, New York Mets by Michael Gary, and we've got Amazing Again by Greg Prince. Go check that out. That's a great book, all about last season when the Mets came back and made Flushing exciting again. When Shea Was Home, about the season at Shea Stadium where all four teams played in Shea Stadium, the Giants, the Jets, the Mets, and the Yankees. That's a great book. Down on the Corner by Mark Roseman and Howie Carpin. Another terrific book all about Ralph Kiner and Kiner's Corner. And, of course, the 86 Mets, Kings of Queens, all about the 86 Mets. And we just had the whole big celebration. You can read all about what they're up to now and all about the 86 Mets. The book is King of Queens, and it's written by Eric Sherman, also a guest on the show, so go check it out. A new book coming out you might want to look into, and that's called Mets by the Numbers by John Springer. We're working on trying to get John on the show. And as I said, When Shea Was Home by Brett Topol, that's another great book. We already mentioned that one, so go check that out as well. And I think that covers it. And look, if you're a Mets Musings fan, for Father's Day, go to tchip.com/Mets Musings. Check out the T-Chip campaign we've got going on there. We got some T-shirts, hoodies, phone cases, ladies' T-shirts. What else? Mugs. Go check it out. They make great gifts, and I think you can still get it in time for Father's Day. So go check out tchip.com/Mets Musings, and that'll be up there all the time. We just added some colors and reduced some prices, so it's a special Father's Day sale at T-Chip to go check it out. And let's talk some Mets baseball now. The Mets took 2 out of 3 against the Marlins. They dropped the Sunday game 1-0 as Matt Harvey was outdueled by Jose Fernandez. Matt Harvey pitched another terrific game. Just gave up the one run, but Fernandez was unbelievable. And look, there's nothing you can do about it. I know the offense is struggling. The offense isn't that good, but he was on point that game, that whole game, and he was awesome. And so was Harvey. Harvey pitched 7 very strong innings, and it's good to see him pitch well again. 2 starts in a row, so hopefully he can keep that going. And he's starting tonight, so hopefully he'll have a good game tonight against Milwaukee. They were rained out on Monday and played a disastrous doubleheader on Tuesday, dropped both ends 3-1. Again, no offense. They could not score. And the worst part was they lost to Jonathan Neese in the first game. He pitched 7 shutout innings. They couldn't get to Neese. Had runners on. They were one hit from really turning the tables on Neese, but couldn't get that key hit. And, boy, was that painful to lose to him. But, all right, they did. It's over and done with. And Wednesday, they won a thriller in 10 innings, beating the Pirates 6-5. Addison Reed getting the win there. On Thursday, he went to Milwaukee for a 4-game series, and they beat Milwaukee in the opener. Cologne was terrific, in and out of trouble. But, boy, it was pleasurable to watch him pitch because he just knows how to work around trouble and everything. 7 strong innings for Cologne. Matt Reynolds got a big RBI pinch hit. But again, they left a lot of guys on base. But it was a big win. It was a nice win. So the Mets won 2 in a row. And on current league, let me do quick math here. 4-3 on the road trip. So let's get another 2-3 wins and make this a really, really special road trip. Let's see. Neil Walker was pulled from Thursday's game after becoming dizzy and losing his breath from being hit in the chest with a 100-mile-per-hour ground ball in a field. Walker joked with reporters after the game, saying he should have worn a chest protector in the field. And Terry Collins said that the ball hit him right in the heart and the rib cage, and he couldn't catch his breath. Then between innings, he got a little dizzy, so they got him out of there. He was examined by a team doctor who did not deem an X-ray necessary. Walker is not starting in tonight's game. Doesn't sound like it's anything serious. He's just sore, so they're going to give him a day off. And look, he was scheduled to get a day off anyway in Milwaukee. Cabrera will also get a day off probably tomorrow or Sunday's games. Neil Walker out now. Mets center fielder Juan Lagares. He suffered a partially torn ligament in his thumb. That's not good news. But he was not going on a disabled list, and he said he was going to swing a bat and see how he felt, and he did so yesterday. Felt pretty good. He pinched hit last night, got a big double, scored the insurance run on Matt Reynolds' hit, and he went in for defense. So apparently he's learning how to deal with it, and swung the bat pretty good, and as I said, got a big hit. So Lagares is going to be hanging around and playing some more, and that's good news. Mets catcher Travis d'Arnaud is roughly a week away from catching in rehab games. In the meantime, Terry Collins said that 32-year-old Rene Rivera will begin handling most of the catching duties, pushing Kevin Plawecki to the bench. Now, Plawecki did have a big hit last night and is in the starting lineup today, so maybe it's a fluid situation, could change on a day-by-day, but Rivera has been very good with the pitching staff as well as throwing runners out. He threw out 43% of the 14 runners attempting to steal against him this season. The Mets have made a move. They acquired Kelly Johnson. Kelly's coming back. In fact, he's there and in the lineup tonight. They gave up double-A pitcher, Akil Morris. Johnson, 34, is hitting .215 with a 2.273 OBP in 132 plate appearances for the Braves this season while playing first base, second base, and left field. He has been activated, and Ty Kelly was sent down to Vegas. So Matt Reynolds dodges a bullet. He's still with the team, and he's shown Reynolds has an ability to get a big hit so far a couple of times in clutch situations and drive in big RBIs. He won a game the other night. And again, like I said, drove in a big insurance run last night. So that he made the team. Sad to see Ty Kelly go, though. He had his first major league home run the other day and really was very big home run for the Mets, tied the game. But he's been sent down to Vegas to make room for Kelly Johnson. They did not have to make a move on the 40-man roster because Akil Morris was on the 40-man roster. So when they traded him, that opened the spot for Kelly Johnson on that. And Akil Morris is a young guy. If you remember, he was at Single A last year, St. Lucie, and they brought him up to pitch, and it was not good. But the poor kid was over his head. I think he knew it. The Mets knew it. But they needed a warm body. And they went with him. And he just didn't handle it well. But he's had a pretty decent year pitching in relief for Binghamton. So it's sad to see him go. Another ex-Brooklyn Cyclone gone. But you can't argue about getting Kelly Johnson and the veteran leadership back on the bench. And he can play a myriad of positions. So he can be backing up Loney at first. He can back up Wilmer Flores at third, as well as at second base, where he's playing tonight for Neil Walker. So, and then that way they can use Reynolds to back up shortstop specifically, and maybe a little bit of third base as well. And Kelly Johnson can also play the outfield. So they'll be covered all over the place. So I think it was a good acquisition for the Mets. I have nothing really too much to complain about making that deal. And the high A St. Lucie Mets will send four Mets prospects to the Florida League Florida State League All-Star Game this year. Shortstop Ahmed Rosario, outfielder Wilmer Becerra, catcher Tomas Nido, and left-handed relief pitcher Alberto Baldonado. The game will take place on Saturday, June 18th in Fort Myers. So it's a week away. And those four Mets, congratulations. They'll be going to the league All-Star game. And 15 years after the 9/11 terrorist attack stunned the nation, the Baseball Hall of Fame will pay tribute to baseball's role in the healing process with a new exhibit. The centerpiece of the exhibit will be the Mets jersey, worn by 2016 Hall of Fame electee Mike Piazza on September 21, 2001, in the first game played in New York after the attacks. A baseball found in the rubble of the World Trade Center will also be featured, as well as the NYPD hat worn by Mets manager Bobby Valentine and the FDNY hat worn by Mets pitcher John Franco. The exhibit opens June 18th and runs through the end of the year. And ex-Met Josh Satin is retiring from playing baseball. Satin had been playing with AAA El Paso in the San Diego Padres organization. And Satin wrote, "Injuries, especially head injuries, diminished my skills, and it's time for me to move on." That was from Josh Satin on Twitter. So we all remember Josh came up, did a fantastic job in a tough situation, and kind of faded. He was Eric Campbell before Eric Campbell was here. So good luck to Josh in whatever endeavors he takes on in his life. And let's take a break now and be back, and we'll have the no guest tonight, so we're going to do the minor league recap and, of course, a little look at the draft picks that the New York Mets have made. Yesterday and today were the MLB Amateur Draft for 2016. And it should be there's some interesting things that the Mets did this year that we'll have to find out more about as we go on. But we'll go through some of the picks in just a minute, right after these messages.
Hey, baseball fans and book fans as well. This is Frank Nappy, author of the Legend of Mickey Tussler series, inviting all of you to learn more about my protagonist, Mickey Tussler, an incredible pitching prodigy who has autism. Follow Mickey's journey as he captures the hearts of fans everywhere with his blazing fastball and indomitable spirit. Please visit Amazon or www.franknappy.com for more information.
Hi, this is the world-famous Mr. Brewtown of BrewtownSports.Podomatic.com. You know, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Brewtown Sports. You can also listen to the show at Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and iTunes.com. And we've got the new one. It's called BrewtownRadio.Webley.com. But the one that I'm most proud of being on is BaseballPodcast.net. It is the home of great baseball talk shows. Check it out, my show and all kinds of other programs all about Major League Baseball. So check it out. That's BaseballPodcast.net, the home for great baseball talk shows.
The Phillies and Mets rivalry has never been better. Hi, my name is Rich Baxter, and I host Phillies Talk Podcast. I hope you'll join me, along with my co-host, James Jim Mulry, as we talk all about the Phillies all season long. That's Phillies Talk Podcast at FightinPhillies.com. And now back to Gary Mack and this great edition of Mets Musings.
That is the comment voicemail hotline. If you'd like to be a part of the show and drop us a line, leave us a comment or a voicemail question, anything at all, call that number 516-619-6341 or go to MetsMusings.com and click on that widget in the middle of the screen, and that's a speak pipe, and you can leave a voicemail right through your computer through your computer's microphone. Or if you prefer to do things the old-fashioned way, send us an email at MetsMusings@gmail.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/MetsMusings, and the Twitter handle is at MetsMusings1. And if you'd like to help out the show, check out our Patreon page. Check out the campaign at patreon.com/MetsMusings. And as we said before the break, the Major Leagues held their 2016 amateur draft the last 2 days, and it could still be going on for all I know. But the Mets have picked up some new ball players there, and among their opening round picks, they drafted Boston College right-handed pitcher Justin Dunn. He was the 19th overall pick, the first pick for the New York Mets. And in the 31st overall pick, they selected UConn left-handed pitcher Anthony Kay from University of Connecticut. And both are also from Long Island. Dunn, who's from Freeport, and Kay is from Stony Brook and attended the same high school as Steven Matz. In the second round, the Mets added power-hitting first baseman Florida's Peter Alonso, and the Mets drafted third baseman Blake Tiberi from Louisville with the 100th overall pick. And with the 130th pick, the fourth round, the Mets selected shortstop Michael Paez from Coastal Carolina. And with the 160th pick in the fifth round, they selected shortstop Colby Woodmansey from Arizona State University. And in the sixth round, they selected right-handed pitcher Christopher Vial. He was the 190th overall pick. Seventh round, Austin McGeorge from Cal State Long Beach, another right-handed pitcher. And in the eighth round, Placido Torres, a left-handed pitcher, and he was from Tusculum College. In the ninth round, they selected Colin Holderman, another right-handed pitcher from Heartland Community College. And right up to now, in the 10th round, they selected Gene Cohn, an outfielder from the University of South Carolina in Columbia. So they might send him right to the Fireflies. He's a hometown boy, and he may go right there and start him out there and see how he does. Be interesting to see where they place these players. First, of course, they have to sign them. But that being said, it'll be interesting to see where they will send these players unofficially. Usually college players go to the Cyclones, and then the high school guys would go to a lower class to get them a little bit younger class of players. But interestingly enough, if you look at this draft list the Mets have, it looks as if they are all college players that they drafted. This is something odd for the Mets. They usually like to draft some high school guys, Dominic Smith, Gavin Cecchini, Desmond Lindsay. Maybe they figured because maybe they like to switch year from year. Maybe that's the new philosophy. 2 years ago, they picked Conforto, a college guy. Last year, they picked Desmond Lindsay, a high school guy. This year, they went college. But they've gone all college this year, and very interesting. And I can't wait until after the draft when they talk to the Mets hierarchy if they talk about what philosophy they used for that. For drafting this year, but very interesting that they went with all college guys this year. So we will see where they're going to land, and it's getting fun now because in 10 days or so, no, I'm sorry, 7 days, the New York Penn League starts up. So the Brooklyn Cyclones will be taking the field, and in case you missed it, we had the premiere episode of Season 3 of Cyclones Fevercast, and that's available at cyclonesfevercast.com. It's another podcast I do covering the New York Penn League and specifically the Brooklyn Cyclones. So I appreciate it if you will wander over there and take a listen to the Fevercast as well. It's all good. Good stuff, as they say. All right, let's take a look at the minor leagues, the rest of the minor leagues. The Las Vegas 51s beat the Albuquerque team last night 17-7. The 51s busted out with 23 hits, blew the game open with a 6-run fourth inning, in part thanks to a bases-clearing double by pitcher Sean Gilmartin. They knocked out the Rockies' top pitching prospect, Jeff Hoffman, after only 2.1 innings. Brandon Nimmo had two home runs in this game, so a big game for the 51. Nimmo now has 3 homers in his last 2 games after hitting only 5 all of last year. One of the blasts last night was off a lefty, so maybe Brandon is starting to come around, and that could be a good thing for the Mets, as either bringing him up into the outfield or maybe as a trade material, or if they have to trade somebody else on the roster, maybe he can fill in. And Josh Edgen pitched in that game as he makes his comeback from Tommy John surgery, and he is yet to allow a run in 9.1 innings this year for Vegas and has 12 strikeouts in that span. The Binghamton Mets beat Trenton 3-2 yesterday in 12 innings as Jorge Carrillo ended the game with a run-scoring single in the bottom of the 12th. It was the B-Mets' first hit of the night with runners in scoring position, and Philip Evans, the shortstop for the B-Mets, extended his hitting streak to 9 games but still has not walked in 92 at-bats for the B-Mets. And the bullpen for the Binghamton Mets combined for 4.1 innings of one-hit ball, with Peterson getting, that would be Tim Peterson, getting his first double-A win. And St. Lucie, the Mets, 10-6 over Dunedin Blue Jays. The Mets scored 4 runs in the top of the 10th to get the victory after they scored 3 runs in the 8th to tie the game. Now, Travis d'Arnaud DH'd in that game. He went 2-for-4. Ahmad Rosario went 4-for-6. Tomas Nido, it went 3-for-6. Michael Katz at first base went 2-for-6. Champ Stewart played center field, went 3-for-5 for the St. Lucie Mets. And a couple of those guys, as we said earlier, are going to the All-Star game. Wilmer Becerra was out of the lineup, another All-Star. He has been since June 2nd, but there's been no report what the injury is. He did have a shoulder injury earlier in the season, and that could be part of it. Johan Urena is struggling a little bit. He was the only hitless player in the game, and he committed his 13th error. And I bet a lot of those are throwing errors because he is a young player with a very powerful arm. And I remember a couple years ago in Brooklyn, him throwing a couple into the stands. And one time I was sitting there. but Johan, he looks good with the bat and things. He's just got he had a rough year last year, had some injuries, really set him back, and looks like he's struggling a little bit this year with his fielding. But you know, when you lose a whole year like he did last year, or a large chunk of the year, it's a maturing factor, and he didn't have that last year, so. But he looks like a pretty good talent. I'm surprised they did move him. I thought he may still be with Columbia this year and then move him up. But play with Rosario in Brooklyn, and they seem to be moving him up together. But we'll see what happens next season. At a Columbia Fireflies, 30-30, they beat West Virginia 11-2. And the Fireflies scored 3 runs in the first and would never relinquish the early lead. They went 6-for-12 with runners in scoring position. We need some of that hitting up here. David Thompson took back the RBI lead with 45 on the season. He is a former Cyclone, as well as Vinny Sienna, who both were with the Cyclones last year. And Vinny is second in the league with 46 runs scored. So, Columbia has some good talent down there and some good hitting going on. And again, they win last night. And I believe every minor league team won last night. So a good night for the Mets system as the minor leaguers came through. And one other roster note, right-handed pitcher Gabby Almonte was added to the roster of the Fireflies from the Cyclones, with the Fireflies needing a starter. So he could be back in Brooklyn, Gabby Almonte. He was there last year, I believe, and he could be back for a second year in Brooklyn. But that's what they do in the minors, folks. They shuttle them back and forth and up and down whenever they need guys. So that's your minor league recap for this week. Well, that does it for this edition of the podcast. This edition is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you would like to help in keeping this podcast going, I urge you to check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/Mets Musings. So thanks for listening to this episode, and until next time, keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets!